This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
A throw downfield. Yes! The corner's got enough.
Your quarterback is really not good.
This is life in the big city. You're not in Utah anymore. And whatever's going on in his skull, it's just that when his first read is covered, he's lost.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The one to McCourty, just throw the ball out of bounds, man.
Today's guests. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Patriots safety, Jabril Peppers. Plus, Emmy Award-winning actor, Tony Hale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Man, lots of news a-poppin' as we come on the air in hour number two here on this Tuesday, first day of November in 2022 on Channel 210 on the Roku channel, which you can get on every Roku device, Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV. We're free on all of those platforms. We're free on any Roku, on the Roku app, which has the Roku channel on it, and the RokuChannel.com. So desktop, mobile, and then, of course, watching us on your television. You can see this show. You can listen to us on Sirius XM and Odyssey and this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. We always appreciate everyone who puts us in the ear gate over terrestrial radio across this great country of ours. Our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for anything that you might miss. There's also the Rich Eisen Show collection on Roku. Albert Breer is about to join us here on the program. It's trade deadline day in the NFL. As soon as we're off the air, there's 1 hour to go, and then that's it for trades to be made in the 2022 season. Adrian Wojnarowski from the worldwide leader in sports sending out a Woj bomb moments ago, just as we were going off the air in hour number one. The Nets and Steve Nash have parted ways. That's it. Decision was mutual. The Nets are like, please go. And Nash is like, please send me out and pay me off. I want out of here. And the Nets won last night. And the Nets won last night. All right, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to go through the rest of this hour as we planned.
Right.
The third hour of this show, we've got Mr. Tony Hale in studio in hour number three.
Love it.
The top of the next hour, we'll chew into the subject matters.
Sounds great.
But we've got, at the moment, here to kick off hour number two on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is our friend from the MMQB and Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer. How you doing, Albert?
Yeah, normally I would say like the parting ways, like verbiage on a firing is BS, but in this case it's actually believable.
Yeah, it's mutual. They're like, it's not working here with you anymore, and he's just like, I don't want to work here anymore. So I guess this makes it perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And please pay me off and let's go. I'm assuming that's the way it all worked out, but we'll get into that a little bit more. It's trade deadline day. TJ Hawkinson going from the Lions to the Vikings in the first hour of our program with just mere hours to go.
Yep.
And a swap of picks. I know the Lions are maybe ready to tap out on this season, and Dan Campbell might feel differently, but in division, that one is a shocker to me. I don't know why. You know, I know you want to try and get picks, but Hawkinson in division, that – maybe did they hold up the Vikings for more than they could have gotten from somewhere else because they are in division? Is that what happened?
Well, the really interesting thing is, and Rich, you were sitting on the set right there when it happened. This is the second time they've pulled off a blockbuster deal together, because if you'll remember, it was the Lions that the Vikings – it was the Vikings that the Lions traded up with to get Jamison Williams in the draft last year. So that piece of it's interesting that now these two teams in this in division with each other have done two pretty significant deals with each other. I mean, look, like I don't think it's a great indication of where the Lions are right now in year two under Dan Campbell. Obviously, they've only got one win on the year, and the willingness to pull the plug on a player who, maybe hadn't lived up to the top 10 billing, but is a really, really good tight end, is interesting. And I think with the Vikings, it's interesting thinking back to my conversations I had with you know, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, their first year GM, and Kevin O'Connell, their first year head coach, over really the last like 7 or 8 months, in how much they liked what they were walking into, right? Like, they were, I mean, this wasn't just not a teardown. It was like, we really liked what Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman left behind for us here. And it was the locker room, it was the talent level, it was all of it. And, you know, Kevin, you know, made a conscious decision, Kwesi made a conscious decision that they wanted to double down on the core, and Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and, you know, Dalvin Cook and, you know, on defense, Kendricks and Harry Smith and all those guys. And, you know, I think it just sort of shows you that, you know, a new coach and GM come into a place, you don't have to tear it down. And they've gotten great results. I don't think people realize this. They're 3 games in front of the Packers right now in the NFC North. So, you know, certainly I think it's I think it should and will give that locker room a really nice jolt, and showing them again, like, the guys in charge here really believe in you. And the Vikings now, I think, become a pretty real threat in a wide-open NFC.
Well, I'll tell you what, Albert, I'm definitely well aware that the Vikings are on top of the Packers by 3+, because they've already beaten them, and Packers fans sure are, and this might not be evergreen to last the day. Once the trade deadline hits, though, maybe it would be. Well, what is the philosophy here with Brian Gutekunst? You got a quarterback who could not have made more bones publicly about the young kids on the team either not being professional enough to study or prepare or care, while also coaching the kids up by saying, maybe we can do it together in Buffalo, you know. And then we did see some kids score in Buffalo. But put it all together for me about the Packers' thought process to get Rodgers some of the help he needs and perhaps shore up a defense that's been hit around a bit last couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think they still believe in the talent on defense. Like, they have 7 first-round picks on their defense, mm-hmm. 7 homegrown first-round picks. So I think they still believe that the talent's there and that they've played well enough in spots and they'll be okay. Offensively, they're in a really interesting position because I think the Adams trade hit them a little harder than maybe they suspected. And it's interesting when you talk to guys who've coached against them, right? Like, some of the teams that have beaten them over the last few weeks, what you hear from, you know, guys on the defensive side of the ball is they're still not motioning very much, which is sort of an Aaron Rodgers thing. It's definitely not a LaFleur thing. But Aaron is like Peyton Manning in that he wants the offense to be stagnant so he can look at the defense and he can kind of decipher what the defense is doing, which is how some elite quarterbacks are. You know, well, the problem with that is if you play that way, then you have to have receivers who can beat man coverage. And right now, I'm not sure they have that guy. And it was okay during Matt LaFleur's first 3 years in Green Bay because you had Devontae Adams to do that. If you have one guy who can do that, well, then it changes the math for everybody else. But the fact that they don't have that one guy who can do it right now, and they hope that Dobbs and Watson grow into becoming that guy, I think it's become a pretty real problem for them. And so I think for Gutekunst now, and LaFleur too, the question is, can either Dobbs, Watson, or both turn into that guy by the end of the year? If they can't, then you have to go get help. And, you know, so I think, like, what you're looking at now is maybe a Chase Claypool. You call on DJ Moore. I don't think the Panthers want to give up DJ Moore. You call on DJ Moore. You know, they have talked to the Steelers about Claypool. I think the price tag would be around a 3. And that's something you probably would consider doing. And then, you know, I think if those things don't work, then you're probably looking at potentially Odell Beckham down the line. But there's no question that the Packers have to do. I think they have to do something at receiver. And, you know, it's either going to be A, bringing in somebody from somewhere else, or B, like, just deciding to have faith that guys like Dobbs and Watson are going to come along over the next 2 months and be in a position where they can be a little bit different than they are right now here as we stand on November 1st.
Albert Breer here from Sports Illustrated on trade deadline day of 2022 of the NFL season here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, we might see big trades happen today, maybe not. I don't think any of them are going to have nearly as lasting an impact. And I know Robert Quinn got traded, and I know Roquan Smith got traded. Clearly the McCaffrey trade, not just because he wound up with the Niners, but the fact that the Niners and Rams were in it together. We already even have seen the results of that trade and how it affects one team and then the one that didn't get him as well just last week. You've made a lot of news, Albert, talking about the Rams and their process of trying to get somebody from Carolina. What is the Rams' philosophy here, and what did they try to do with Brian Burns and also for McCaffrey? What do you got for me on that subject matter?
So, yeah, I mean, I think the way the Rams view it right now is they've got a core of four players, really. Realistically, what we're talking about here is Stafford, Kupp, Donald, and Ramsey. And I think there's also, you know, an acknowledgement, and, you know, this is something that I've talked about the last few months. Sean McVay's future with the team is probably tied to those four guys. And in all likelihood, when those guys are gone, McVay is going to be gone too. And so, you know, I think the way that they look at this is we have to do everything we can to maximize what we've got right now, because we've got a special, special coach, and we've got a special core of players. And maybe that lasts for another year, maybe it lasts for five. But whatever that period of time is, we need to get the most out of those guys right now. And that's why, like, a 2024, 2025 first-round pick wouldn't be as valuable. That's why their picks in 2023 aren't as valuable. And so that's why, you know, they made a very spirited run at Christian McCaffrey. The Niners wind up getting him for a second, third, and fourth-round pick in 23 and a fifth-round pick in 24. The Rams' offer was really close to that. It was second and third in 23, a fourth and a fifth in 24, and Cam Akers. The Panthers decided they wanted the four in 23, and that wound up being the tiebreaker. But, you know, they made a very, very real offer to the Panthers to try and get Christian McCaffrey out of there. And, you know, and as part of all of this, they wind up making a monster offer for Brian Burns too. It was more than two first round picks. So
when were those first round picks, Albert? Were they like for?
It wasn't three first round picks, but it was more than two. It was more than just the two first round
but
picks.
But when
24 and 25.
24 and 25.
So,
okay.
And 24 and 25. And so, you know, they've made no secret that they want to go get pass rush help, and that's part of where they are right now, is that they want to go get an edge rusher to replace what they lost with Von Miller going out the door. And, you know, Burns would give them a guy who's under contract for the next year and a half and that they could sign long term. And, you know, like, it wouldn't be all that different from the juncture at which they got Jalen Ramsey, right? Like, when they got Jalen Ramsey, it was with a year and a half left on his rookie deal. They wind up signing him to an extension. It'd be very, very similar to that. And it would be on the premise, we believe we're going to be really good for the next couple of years, continue to be good for the next couple of years. And so if you're talking about, you know, the 25th or 30th pick in the draft in 24 and 25, there's no way we're going to get a Brian Burns type of player out of that. So that's sort of where they are right now. Again, I think it's just all in on that core of players. And it's not like, you know, like F them picks. It's more about just being all in on a group of people you have in the building right now that you believe are a special group of people, and obviously validated that with the Lombardi Trophy just a few months ago.
Man, what a juncture right now for the Rams. So there's two other questions I have for you. One is associated with the Rams, and the other one involves another West Coast team. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is the status of Odell Beckham here on this trade deadline day, and how does it affect things? Best you can tell.
Everything I've heard on him, I mean, it's kind of tricky because, you know, if you're, you know, a team and, you know, like say you're Tampa or Buffalo or Green Bay or the Rams, like one of these teams that's at least, you know, touch base with him. You know, I think part of it is there is some unknown if he, you know, decides presumably he'll wait past today, right? So, like, if you don't make a move today, obviously you can't do anything else on the trade front. You've got this one piece. Could wind up being a really significant piece based on how he kept depending on how he comes off of the knee. Mm-hmm. But you're not assured of that, right? Like, so that's what I think makes it tricky. That's why, you know, like, if you look at the Chiefs, like, the Chiefs go and get Kadarius Toney when they got him. And a part of that was, like, yeah, they were interested in Odell Beckham, but they don't have a lot of cap space, and they had a need for a pass rusher. So it sort of allowed them to check that box rather than waiting around and then turn around and start looking for a pass rusher, which is where the Chiefs have been. So, you know, it's sort of a weird spot for the teams that have been in touch with Odell Beckham. And I think Beckham's approach here is whatever's best for him, he's going to get to that point by being able to collect the most information. And by being a free agent right now, like, waiting allows him to collect that information. So instead of, you know, making a leap of faith in a team that is a real contender November 1st, is still going to be in that position a couple months from now, which, you know, I mean, we can make reasonable assumptions about certain teams. If you wait until you're closer to being at full health and ready to go, you're going to have a clearer picture of where the Rams are, the Packers are, the Bills are, the Bucks are, the Chiefs are. And that's going to allow you to make a better decision for you. So I think that's sort of where it's at right now. And, you know, I think for Beckham, and I don't disagree with the strategy. The strategy is sort of, by waiting, I can kind of give myself a more clear view of where each team is, closer to when the real big games are being played.
Last one for you, Albert. The Las Vegas Raiders don't lead the league in much, but they already lead the league in disappointing losses, followed up by confabs between the owner and the coach in private that apparently don't amount to any hot seat. That's and the announcement comes after that meeting between Josh McDaniels and Mark Davis. Yeah, that's another. He's going to be a coach here for a while. That's now multiple times, I think, have happened this year, or at least one time there Davis had to say something. What is going on in Vegas, best you can tell, right now?
I think they're going to be all right. You know, and I think Josh has honestly like kind of equipped himself well for this. And, you know, I mean, as you know, I've spent a lot of time with him since he got that job. And I look at like how he has emphasized building relationships and making sure the right foundation is laid and all the stuff he learned from Denver. I know one thing he kind of emphasized to me is nobody's going to know whether or not I've changed until the bleep hits the fan. Right.
It seems like it has, hasn't it?
And that's the thing is like, people aren't going to know. And he said to me, I promise you, like, I'm not going to be the guy who's going to come in and flip the computer monitor over in the meeting room when things don't go well. And so, like, I think this is going to be an interesting test of where he is and who he is and how much he's grown. I think he's grown a lot. And I think that they've got some issues that they knew were issues that are bigger issues than they thought they were.
What's that?
The structure of the team up the middle of the defense, I think, has been a huge one for them. Like, right up the middle of the defense, they've got holes. I think they thought those were manageable, that they would be able to build big leads with their offense and kind of mitigate that, where, you know, your corners and your edge players are more important if you can kind of get other teams down. And their offense hasn't come along fast enough for that to happen. But I still think that there is a belief that they're going to get there. And so I believe Mark Davis when he says, like, we're not thinking of pulling the plug. The one caveat, and I know this is sort of a long-winded answer, the one caveat there would be, I do think, you know, you're seeing it in college football now with the way the television money, I think, affects, like, schools' willingness to pay these massive buyouts, right, to get rid of guys. I think the same sort of dynamic is starting to exist in the NFL, too, where the massive television money has made it so, for an owner, the idea of a one-and-done and eating 3 or 4 years of a coach's contract is more workable than it was in the past. But I don't think that that's Mark Davis's mindset right now.
Thank you, Albert Breer. You treated this segment like JT Tuimoloau treated Penn State. Did I say the name right? Tuimoloau, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's better than Michigan State handled things on Saturday, right?
No, you know what? I choose to, you know, cast a spotlight on the positives for your team and your school. How does that sound?
Well, no. I'm saying I'm with you on the situation that unfolded on Saturday night.
Okay.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just hope that I could hit Blake Corum levels of explosiveness with the segment there. How about that?
Very good. By the way, a little tip for you, Chris Brockman. Give him this to see if there's any tea leaves here.
Yeah, according to local reporters, Albert, Brandon Cook's not spotted at Texans walkthrough today.
Anything? What do you think? Anything?
How about that? Well, I will say that there are some teams interested in him, but the price tag was too high. He's got an $18 million guarantee next year. That's a problem. Other teams don't want to take that on. My understanding was the Texans were asking for a second-round pick and another pick on top of that.
Wow.
Which at the time was too rich for people's blood. Now, does that price tag come down from like a 2 and a 4 to maybe a 3 and a 5? Maybe that could change some things. But he's another one that like what we were just talking about, Rich, with, you know, the certainty of getting a player like that in versus like the potential magic of what Odell Beckham could bring, but you don't know if you're going to get him. And that's sort of what some of these teams are sorting through right now.
Okay, very interesting. Interesting stuff, I guess, in terms of eating his salary. Got to check with Derrick Henry since he owns the Texans. We'll have to see if that's...
Did you see that stat, by the way, that he has more 200-yard games against the Texans alone than any other player in NFL history has against everybody?
That's right. So,
that is one of the most amazing stats I've ever seen. Like, that is unbelievable.
Albert, take care of yourself. We'll chat again soon. Thanks again for the time.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a quick break, and the phone line will light up, and it'll be Jabril Peppers of the New England Patriots. Oh, yeah, he also was a Wolverine, too, right? Yeah, yeah. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain. It's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/onlineprivacyprotection. Looking to buy a new home? Navy Federal Credit Union has loan options and resources that help their members save and make sure they get the best deal. Right now, Navy Federal will contribute up to $1,000 as a lender credit towards closing costs on your new home. Plus, members save on their monthly payments since there's no requirement for private mortgage insurance, and that is not all. Navy Federal offers low rates and fees, too, so you could save even more. And Navy Federal's experts can help you choose the best option for you, so the home loan process is as smooth an experience as possible. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Qualifying members with purchase mortgage applications after September 16th may receive up to $1,000 towards actual closing costs. Apply to closing with no cash back and subject to loan program maximum contribution limits. Terms subject to change. Ask your loan officer for details. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. A couple minutes away from Jabril Peppers calling into the program here from the New England Patriots. Let's go to Tim in Florida. He's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Timothy? You're here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
What's going on?
Not too much, man. First time, lifetime.
Hey.
I just wanted to ask you a bit of a higher register question, possibly. If Geno Smith keeps up this, like, out-of-his-mind play this year, what do you think the chances are maybe he gets an MVP vote?
That's a good higher register. I appreciate that. Look, the MVP of this league is going to be Josh Allen. That's the end of that. And I think we're seeing it. One of my scary storylines from week number 8 is the fact that he threw 2 interceptions at home and still beat the Green Bay Packers by 10. So, but I look, man, and I think what Geno Smith is doing is simply remarkable and is one of my favorite stories. And I think, you know, if they do, I don't know the exact, and thanks for the call, Tim. I don't know the exact qualifications for comeback player of the year. I think that maybe we need to look that up at some point and read what the exact qualification is, because does it require you to come back from an injury? Because he's coming back from
the bench.
Yeah. He's coming back from
him being a backup, getting punched in the face and losing his job
and having a difficult time coming into the league and being born into this league in a with a franchise that wasn't ready to figure out well enough for him what he can do. He might not have been ready maturity-wise.
All right, from what I can
now
see
it's,
here,
now it's working for him.
It says it's given to the player, quote, who shows perseverance in overcoming adversity in the form of not being in the NFL the previous year, overcoming a severe injury, or simply poor performance. So he qualifies.
I mean, but
right?
It's, his performance wasn't poor last year. He comported himself. Well, he comported himself well when Russ was injured.
True.
You know, he did what a backup quarterback's supposed to do, which is keep you competitive in games and maybe win.
But is it perseverance and overcoming adversity? Is that how we're gonna kind of gerrymander him?
Well,
to get
the
this
adversity
award?
Was like, what being drafted by the Jets and Rex Ryan was your coach.
I guess.
I don't know. Let's turn on Get Up and see what Rex has to say about it. All the old Jets who are commenting on the current Jets right now. I don't want to go any further. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Can you give that award to somebody who just wasn't a starter and lost his starter's job years ago and was a second-round draft choice and is finally getting an opportunity and making the most of it? Does Saquon?
Yeah, I don't think he should qualify there either.
He did play 13 games last year, right?
I think he might have played more. But he's the overwhelming Vegas favorite right now, Saquon. And Geno is 4-1.
Is there somebody who was, in fact, hurt all last year and is balling out right now?
Like Christian McCaffrey, kind of, no.
He's not a comeback player of the year. This is kind of an interesting conundrum here. Because Saquon played most of the season last year.
He did. He just, you know,
he just was still, he still wasn't himself, or he was still overcoming the adversity of Dave Gettleman's players drafted to try and block for him.
Christian McCaffrey only played in 7 games last year.
He's not a guy. Come on, man.
Really?
Comeback player of the year?
He only had 343 yards rushing last year.
Had a soft tissue injury? You know what I mean? Like, this is where somebody, like Dak, broke his leg.
Yeah.
Like an Alex Smith situation.
Yes, like that's normally what it is. Like a.
Yeah. I'd be more inclined to give it to McCaffrey than Geno or Saquon. If McCaffrey does what he did the past 2 weeks in San Francisco for the rest of the year, he'd get my vote.
Geno said this year, don't call this a comeback story. Is literally what he said to us.
I've been here for years.
Right. And I've been fine. I'm good. But he is truly terrific. He is running this offense. They are moving it. Kenneth Walker obviously helps that they can run it as well. Ryan in Seattle, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Rich. I actually got another Geno Smith question for you, a little bit derivative. But now that it seems like Geno Smith is balling and Russ can't cook SpaghettiOs, they're going to have two pretty good first-round picks this coming year. But Geno Smith doesn't have a contract at the end of the year. So if you're the Seahawks, what do you do?
That's a good question. I don't know. And thanks for the call. I mean... So much more football left to be played.
Yeah, there's a whole half of the year.
Right now, Seattle, because Russ cooked in London at the end of the game, that pick is now 10th overall.
Yeah, 10th overall.
So Russ, isn't that amazing? Russ struggling benefits Seattle big time. They're 10th overall right now. I don't know. It really depends on if there's a quarterback that might sit there 10th overall, like with that – with that Mahomes-like talent that they can hook up to and hope once again that their rookie quarterback turns like into Russ right away. I don't know. I really like what they're doing with Geno, and I think you could see the leadership too. And they're really tight-knit group. Did you see that video that ESPN put out with Oz the Mentalist? Did you see that, Chris?
Mm-mm, no.
Pete brought a mentalist into their meeting, and it was dynamite. I tweeted it out yesterday. The whole team went nuts. And you could see they were just a tight-knit group. Well, you know, he was reading minds and doing things that looked like magic tricks, to be very honest with you.
The leadership
thing.
Dr.
Oz did all this?
No, not that doctor. Oz the Mentalist.
Oh, my bad.
Yes.
The leadership thing is important, I feel like, for him. It's one of his best qualities.
I think you're seeing him on the bench talking to some of his receivers. I really love what he's doing. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is one of my favorites from back in the day. I saw him last, I think, on the field at Michigan when I was the honorary captain. Chris, right? Did you see him that
he
day,
He almost
too?
Separated my shoulder because I got in the way of him trying to catch punts in pregame.
Get out the way.
Wow, I didn't know that was happening. On that day.
Basically ran me over. It was my fault. I was in the way.
But. By the way, do you know that was 7 years ago in 2016?
Woof. We're old, man.
Jeez. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from the New England Patriots, fresh off the dub against the New York Jets, is Jabril Peppers. How you doing, sir?
Rich, appreciate you for having me. How you doing?
How have you been?
Been good, man. I've been doing well.
Okay. How is it being coached by Belichick? Give me some good stories. You got one, Jabril? Right off the bat.
It's just a great experience, you know, to be able to learn from the best, you know, to soak up the knowledge from him each and every day. But, you know, he's just real big on hard work, fundamentals, and, you know, just doing your job. You know what I mean? So I don't really have too many stories right now.
Well, what was it like in the locker room? Robert Kraft coming in, handing him a game ball because he passed – George Halas second on the all-time list after beating the Jets. Jabril.
Well, it was a great, you know, it was a great moment for him. You know, I'm happy we could get that done for him. You know, but he knows, like we know, there's still more to be had. You know, so we just got to keep putting in the work.
And you showing up in New England and figuring out what your role is there. What is your role there in New England, in your estimation, Jabril Peppers?
You know, we have a very deep room, very versatile guys, you know, both cornerbacks and safety positions. So, you know, week to week it changes, you know, based off what the opposition does well and, you know, based on the skill sets that, you know, they have at their disposal. So, you know, week to week it changes. So, you know, I can't even really give you an answer.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay. And what is the sense within that locker room about how good this team can be? You've been on some good teams before and you know what it's like. What do you got for me on that front?
You know, we just know we just have to put it all together. You know, we haven't been playing our best ball. You know, we have to play better complementary football. You know, we got to take care of the football a little bit better, have to get more takeaways. And, you know, so that's where our mindset is. You know, how can we keep doing what we do well and, you know, eliminate the bad plays that kills us? So, you know, that's our mindset right now.
Jabril Peppers here on the Rich Eisen Show from the New England Patriots, fresh off the win against the New York Jets. What did you guys talk about in the film room? What you saw on film from Zach Wilson that you were able to execute on the field? What did you see out of Zach that you thought that you could exploit and execute well against?
You know, Zach's a good quarterback. You know, he can make the throws. You know, they have a talented receiving core. So, you know, we just wanted to mix up the looks, you know, disguise things here and there, you know, put the pressure on them and, you know, make them make good decisions back there.
And what was the conversation about his decision-making ability going into the game?
You know, we knew we got some pressure on him. You know, it'll be chances for us. So, you know, we just had to, you know, make them when they came, man. You know, we made them. So, you know, we see those guys in another week or two. We have a good Indianapolis team coming up right now that we have to get ready for. But, you know, divisional games always, you know, mean a little more. You know, juices were flowing. You know, the stadium was packed. So, you know, it was definitely a good experience to go out there and execute the game.
Jabril Peppers here on the Rich Eisen Show, first-round pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, now with the New England Patriots here on the program. Are your days playing offense over?
I mean, we don't know. You know, we don't know yet. You know, I like to think I still got it.
Okay. Have you voiced that? Have you voiced that within the halls of Patriot Press? Have you voiced that?
No. You know, I haven't been voicing that.
Let me voice it. Do you want to play offense? Would you want to get a couple snaps on the offensive side of the ball?
Right now, I'm just focused on what I could do on the defensive side of the ball to help us keep winning ball games right now. You know.
Okay.
You know, at least half the season left, you know, so we gotta kind of kick it up into another gear.
I understand that. I'm not trying to create any problems. I'm trying to pound the table for you. I've seen what you can do on that side of the ball. I've seen that.
I appreciate you, Rick.
Okay, very good. What did you think of – what do you think of the current Michigan Wolverines, Jabril? What do you think?
They look good. You know, they're running the football. You know, they're winning the war in the trenches. You know, Blake Corum is elite back there. The things that he can do with the ball in his hands. You know, JJ's making all the throws. That defense is playing well. So, you know, I'm excited to see. You know, they still have to get better, but, you know, Harbaugh definitely have those guys ready to go each and every time I tune in. So, you know, it's definitely great to see.
Well, somebody who was on that team watching the Michigan State punt in slow motion, and I still have nightmares of that finale. Right? But what did you think of seeing that Paul Bunyan trophy wearing Mays pants on Saturday night?
That's where he's supposed to be, man. That's where he belongs. So I'm happy the guys got the job done. Hopefully they continue to improve.
Okay. And what do you think against Ohio State this year? You think you can get two in a row? Let's talk. Let's talk for real here. What do you got for me?
We're going to see. No, we're going to see. You know, it's you know, we play those guys the second to last week of November.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we still have a little bit of time left, you know, to keep chopping at the bit, keep, you know, making those minute corrections to keep getting better. So, you know, but I like our chances for sure based off what I've seen.
Okay. Well, as we all know, it's a big game coming up this weekend in New Jersey. That's where you're from, Jabril. Taking on Rutgers this week, if I'm not mistaken. Did you score all 70 points against Rutgers that game a few years ago? Did you score all of them?
I
forgot.
No, I did it. I think I might have had one or two of them.
I think I remember. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get you out there on the offensive. Go into Belichick's office. Tell him I sent you, okay? You know, tell B-squared, look, I can give you some reps here, coach. You know, do you want me to send him the film? I could do that. I could send him a link. What do you think?
Some tell me he's watched all the film he can watch.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, it's a big game this weekend. I would ask if you'd be going, but you got enough going on in your world going on with the New England Patriots back to 500. So where do you think you guys and you're taking on Indianapolis this week? So that's a big game, obviously, for you guys to go back above 500. Where do you think this journey can finish for the Patriots this year, Jabril?
I mean, right now, we just taking it game by game, week by week, day by day. You know, try to be better today than we were yesterday. You know, we just got to keep eliminating the bad football, keep running the football effectively, you know, stopping the run, covering these kicks, and, you know, make teams beat us instead of shoot us. You know, shooting ourselves in the foot. So, you know, we're just going to get back to the drawing board, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have great ground game. You know, Jonathan Taylor speaks for himself. So, you know, we have a big task ahead of us.
Day by day. Did you you get that from Belichick, that phrase? Because that sounds just like your coach. It sounds just like him, man. Just like him. All right, I don't want to get you in any trouble. Here's what you do. You'll just predict you're going to win the Super Bowl, and I will take that clip and send it to Belichick and scribble on the top, let him play offense. We can do that. In the meantime, you keep doing what you're doing, Jabril. Go Blue. Thanks for the time.
That's it. Go Blue.
Right back at you. That's Jabril Peppers, the New England Patriots. He's a ball player, Christopher.
I'm a big fan. I'm glad he's with us. He's a good player, man.
He can do a lot.
I'd like to see him all over the field.
What about offense? Let's go.
Let's go. Why not?
Right?
A couple plays a game. Give me a little jet sweep action. Something.
Okay. I don't understand the trade that I just heard about. I'll be very honest with you. I don't get it.
Did you see the compensation?
I'm going to find out in a second. I didn't hear the compensation.
It's going to make you wonder even more.
Okay.
Chris and I gasped during the – Rich had no idea, and he's looking at us like, what's happening? I was like, oh, my God.
Big trade to talk about. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the firing of Steve Nash to talk about, and there's the appearance of Tony Hale in hour number three to talk about.
Or mutually parting of ways.
I'm sorry. I should have said that. Yeah,
yeah. We're going to mutually talk to Tony Hale?
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to mutually part ways with the Roku channel for this break, and then we will mutually reconvene on the other side.
As long as we come back.
Oh, we're coming back.
Good. What up, Roku Joe?
Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day?
Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. The Chicago Bears told Robert Quinn, we're done here.
Roquan Smith. Oh, Robert Quinn.
They told Robert Quinn, we're done here. Yeah. Send him to Philadelphia. And as a matter of fact, paid most of his salary to get that fourth rounder, I think, back. And then they send Roquan Smith packing for 2 and a 5. And now they have made a trade. And you're like, okay, who else are they giving away? No, they've acquired somebody on offense. And it's Chase Claypool from the Chicago Bears. And they flipped a second round pick in next year's draft for it. Now, hold on a second. I know there's a lot of folks who are going to be like, what are they doing in Chicago with this?
I mean, I'm one of them.
Let me answer.
What are they doing?
Let me answer. The second round pick they're sending, I'm assuming it's their own. It's currently 43rd overall. They also now have, because of Roquan Smith, Baltimore's, which is currently 57th overall. They've got a second round pick. They got another one. It's not as good as the one they've just flipped. And you got to sit here and think, 43rd overall next year, let's just say that's where they do pick. Clearly, it could be better or it could be worse. They're hoping it's worse because that means they've won. But let's just say anywhere in the 40s currently in the draft next year, could they get somebody of Chase Claypool's talent? Maybe not. And you stick him out there with Justin Fields now and let's get that chemistry going. Let's go.
But they only have him under contract for another year and a half.
Fine. So let's get that half year going now and turn to Chase Claypool and say next year, prove it. Or you extend him if you want. I don't know. Because you see enough in the first half year and you get some chemistry going here and you give Justin Fields some help. Now,
but
and
you can start a second round pick
there. You know what? That's a high pick. But hold on a second. There is some added benefit to it. What do you think right now Packers fans are thinking?
They're freaking the F out.
Yeah, they are. What do you think 12 is thinking?
What are we doing?
Guess who currently, because they if they traded the 43rd overall pick away, guess who currently is the 44th overall pick?
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Green Bay. And if you're sitting here and you wear a cheese head on your head and you're not named Sauce Gardner and you're a cheese head and you're sitting here saying, so the Bears flipped the 43rd overall pick for this kid and we don't think the 44th overall pick is worth it. Now, Brian Gutekunst in that scouting department may know some things that the Bears also know and don't care about Chase Claypool. And I'm not saying there's anything out there that's untoward or anything. But the Steelers just flipped him. And they got a young quarterback of their own. And the Bears took him. Like I said, makes no sense for now. But if they are building towards the future, who at 43rd overall has the skill set of Chase Claypool? And you could look across the college football landscape. They don't have to. They might have drafted a kid. Take a look at the kids that Aaron Rodgers has right now. Would he rather have another young kid at 44th overall or Chase Claypool?
Yeah, now Christian Watson got back and then left the game with a concussion.
Well, hopefully he can be cleared and come back fast. But what a, I mean, so Hockenson goes in division from the Lions to the Vikings. Not that the Packers need another tight end. I think Tunyon's terrific for Rodgers. And by the way, I'll just throw this out there. That was not offensive pass interference in Buffalo. The defender didn't have a very good position on Tunyon. And Tunyon and the defender did contact one another, but he kind of fell. At any rate, tight end's not their issue. They need receivers. And the Bears say, we got one of the best on the trade market, and the Packers didn't. Yet, let that one sit in the fan base. But hey, at least they still have their second-round draft choice.
They have to get Cooks now, right?
I don't know, but I think it would help them. Like, I think it would help them.
We're just running out of receivers who are available.
Again, I'm looking at Tampa and Green Bay. The two Bays with their two GOAT 12s. Tampa, I feel, has a better cast for Brady than the cast that Rodgers has for Green Bay in Green Bay. And Brady and the Bucks, location is much better than Green Bay's because Tampa's a game behind the first place team they've already beaten. And Green Bay's three games behind the first place team that's already beaten them. It's a problem. It's a major problem for Green Bay to make the playoffs from their current position. It's much easier for Tampa, even though I saw some signs in the loss for Green Bay that I liked a hell of a lot more than the signs that I saw in Tampa Bay's latest loss to Baltimore. At least Rodgers got touchdowns, too, from his two young receiving core, Dobbs and Touré, and they have a run game that Tampa doesn't have. I would just love it if Green Bay played in the NFC South. I'd love their shot. But they don't. They play in the NFC North, and they're three games behind the Vikings, and they've already lost one. And you got to go, man. Get a receiver. How many times am I going to say this on either draft day or now trade deadline day about Green Bay? Unless they believe in what's in the building, but I can't imagine. I'd love a GoPro on 12 when he learned that Chase Claypool was trading. It wasn't to Green Bay, and it wasn't not only to Green Bay, but it was to Chicago. What?
We'll find out when he tells Pat.
Is he on right now? He could be on, literally on now.
I don't think he's on right now.
Okay. I mean, this is his day, usually. Man, oh, man, oh, man. That's a wild one. That's a curveball I did not see coming. You had one where the Lions and Vikings make a trade with each other. And by the way, Irv Smith Jr. just got put on IR with an injury, so that's another reason why they went ahead and flipped so the draft choices in division to go get Hockenson from
Schefter
Detroit.
Well, Schefter said that he's out 8 to 10 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
So, I mean, nice move by the front office in Minnesota.
And you guys were talking about Brandon Cooks earlier. I was just, you know, doing some Twitter searching. There's been about four different teams that he's been rumored to be traded to, and he has liked every one of the tweets.
Yeah.
There's a Cowboys tweet from Ed Werder that he liked. There's something about him going to the Rams that he's liked. There's something about him going to the Vikings that
he's
liked.
He's out there liking tweets on trade rumors.
He just wants out. Apparently.
He wants the Steve Nash plan.
I'm not going to be here.
Mutual parting of the ways is what he wants. Hour three coming up.
Oh, man. This is great. I love
he's hitting that like button, huh?
Yo,
like he's 12 years old in high school?
Because my first thing was I saw Ed Werder said something about the Cowboys needing a receiver, and then it was like, oh, Brandon Cooks like this. So I was about to like say something, and then I looked. I was like, oh, wait a minute. He liked the Vikings tweet, the Rams tweet, any tweet that would get him out of Houston.
$18 million is a heavy freight, though.
That's the problem.
And I'm sure they're telling Houston, we'll take him, but you got to pay for him. And I'm sure Houston's like, whatever. And as I told Albert Breer, they can't get clearance from ownership on how much money to eat because Derrick Henry's not answering his phone.
You want to talk about someone really owning the team?
I love being on the air for this.
I would say that.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the owner of the Bears, has to like this trade of Chase Claypool.
Yeah, right?
Because you're helping out Justin Fields now.
It helps your bottom line.
Yes, by the way, you might as well get that chemistry going in actual games as opposed to figuring it out during the training camp OTA season, I kind of dig the move for the Bears.
So Albert just tweeted that the second round they're sending is the one they got from Baltimore.
Okay, so it's even the lower one.
Yeah, so they still have their own.
There you go. They turned Roquan Smith, part of it, into Chase Claypool. So it's just like, he's not going to sign with us, so let's go ahead and get Justin Fields some help using Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
And you still hang on to your own one.
What player can really claim ownership of another team more? Rodgers or Derrick Henry?
There you go.
Right, Derrick Henry,
number
right?
Three coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi. Talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.